What's with the delay with this broad?
Turn that up.
This is an unlawful gathering. This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Wednesday, January 25th. Eddie, how are you?
Doing very well today. I'm doing very well. I'm doing good. I'm excited to be here on your show. Thank you.
Well, I thank you for joining me. You are my radio partner, my life partner, my friend, my confidant, all of those things. Good evening to all of you in the chat room. Yes, yes. Thank you for being a friend. Good evening to all of you in the chat room. Chat room's already full. Nice to see. Plenty of guests.
Very, very interesting. Very. And, a lot of people here.
So first up, first on the agenda, on the docket, Rangers with a big win last night. Another shutout win. What is that? Henrik's, did I read that right? Henrik's 40th career shutout? Or is it 40 career?
Yes.
Is it 40 shutouts this year?
Yeah, 40th career ties Dave Kerr and approaching Eddie Jacquemin, I think, is next on the list. Maybe
Jacquemin,
one guy in there between, but I think it's Eddie G.
Jacquemin, I believe, had 49 for his career.
That's right. That's right. And he got his fifth of the year last night.
Nice. Now, how great is it that the Rangers have a backup goaltender that when their starter, Marty Baron, has the flu and can't go, Henrik can fill in kind of nicely for him, can't he?
Yes. It's very nice they have that. Marty Baron got the flu, a little bit of the flu bug. And I saw your man Chad Johnson, Ocho Stinko, was up, backing up. But yes. And it's kind of a interesting game last night, I thought. You know what I'm saying, buddy?
What have you been smoking?
I'm just trying to throw you off because we usually have the banter down and I'm kind of acting weird, so you don't know where it's going.
You can't.
I decided to throw you.
I'm a professional.
That was great.
Not even close. Not even close.
Great. Yeah.
Fire!
Right. Fire!
Fire!
Yeah. It was an interesting game last night. Winnipeg, I mean, they were without Dustin Byfuglien. Vander Kane. And Bermistrov.
What?
And so I figured if they didn't beat them, but little do we know that their third line came to play. The great Tanner Glass. Oh, look at this third line. Micheletti was about to sacrifice himself to Winnipeg's third line, telling me how good they were. And they did play well, their third line. I'll give you that. But Rangers really bottled them up pretty well. There was an instance, and it was mentioned in the game, where Winnipeg kind of took control of the game, but then took some stupid penalties, and which are indicative of a pretty bad team. Ryan Callahan scored. I'm sure you were happy about that. I was very happy about that.
The captain.
Captain, leading by example again. A lot of hitting in the game on both sides. Rangers got hit, and Rangers threw hits. It was a tough game, but it was a game where I could see how a couple years ago we'd be on the other end of that game, you know?
Yeah.
The other team, you know, doesn't play its best game, but it's good enough to win. So they finish on a high note.
Callahan's goal, I thought that was, you know, I kind of looked at that as setting the tone. You know, 4 minutes in, he gets the goal. We're not laying down. I thought it was a very, very business-like win for the Rangers last night. Very, very workmanlike. Just come in, you know, suffocate them, get a couple of goals, get Richards a goal, get the great Stump Mitchell a goal, five goals or his third goal in his last five games or something like that. And
Fans were feeling that John Mitchell had pretty much run the gamut here up with the big club, but he looks to be he wants to stay. He really does. I mean, I don't want to go through the old Nick Fatiu. He's got a good wrist shot, but he actually has a good wrist shot. You know,
Nick Fatiu
certainly got better touch than Brian Boyle, but not too much to complain about last night. I was actually Brian Boyle. I got to tell you,
tremendous game last night. Tremendous.
I mean, you could say, well, you know, we rag on him about his lack of offense, and me and High C. Well, High C actually says he has the hands of Bree Walker. Now, I can't believe, Jim, you actually got that reference, because there's about four people in this country that could get it.
That is great.
So you people, the rest of you are going to have to wiki Bree Walker. But I see.
Once married to Jim Lampley.
Oh, he was. She was. Huh? I didn't know that.
Yes, she was married. I don't think she is anymore, but she, at one time she was married to Jim Lampley.
But Brian Boyle is an absolute, I mean, he's a warrior. I mean, the guy is just going down. I mean, it's Winnipeg. This isn't for the final playoff spot. This is game 43 or whatever it is, 45, I don't know what it is, 44. And they are going down and he exemplifies it. So I'm going to give him a pass for at least. He really does. He plays all balls out. I mean, he's got balls as thick as his head, probably.
He's the slab of meat with hockey gloves on.
He's not much of a thinker, as we know.
Not much of a thinker.
Don't we have a theme song for him this edition of the show?
The new Brian Boyle theme song?
Here the Frank and Boyle theme song.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
All I do is hit.
All I do
is shot. But I got to tell you, though.
If I go out and I don't score, torts will make me
sit.
I hope I don't sit!
Listen, we should have more players who want to give their body. He was hurting, and I was kind of pleased. This is how sick I am. I'm demented. I should be checked. Actually, I am checked. but because I was glad that he was off the ice, because I could actually not see him double shifted and see what the other players look like, you know, because he's been getting so much ice time that I've been like, I like him. I'm not as down on him as you were or are. So I want to see the other players.
Well, and I'm not doing a 180 on him, but I think I've just kind of accepted him for what he is. Tough, throws his body around everywhere with absolutely zero offensive talent. let me put it this way. I wouldn't want two lines full of Brian Boyles, but I'm glad they have one of them.
All right, that's an endorsement. Then I think...
That's ringing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's one step above. He's better than nothing.
Right. So there's a couple of other things in the news, Robin. We have Carl Hagelin has been named to the Young Guns or the Young Stars portion of the NHL All-Star Game. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Congratulations to Carl Hagelin Flo.
I am very pleased about this. I am interested to see him in the fastest skater competition. I hope he's entered in that. It'll be interesting. I'm glad he made it. So what do we have, a total of four Rangers going?
That sounds about right. Since we're talking All-Star Game, do you watch the All-Star Game?
I watch the skills and the youth game. Wow, do I even watch that? No, I watch the skills game. That's the skills competition. I don't watch it. The game is completely useless. It's like 14-13 finals.
Right.
It's like watching a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not an All-Star Game fan in any sport. I'm just not. I've never gotten really excited about them. Used to watch the hockey ones. Occasionally, I'll watch the football ones, but for the most part, I'll watch the fantasy draft. That's more interesting than the game. The skills competition
is,
but no, the game itself to watch Henrik Lundqvist give up six goals because nobody's playing defense in front of him, and you know, nobody's checking,
no hitting.
Nobody's forechecking. You know,
it's like watching an Islander game.
It's like watching, you know, I'd rather they play NHL 12. That would be more exciting.
Did I mention this on the other show? Because I really don't remember. You know, because the Rangers, were atop the Eastern Conference now, were sitting on high. And I don't think anybody other than the people in this chat room and the real diehards in other places know that the Rangers are the best team in the Eastern Conference.
No, they're not.
The media coverage is horrible. I mean, they're talking about basketball and whatever they're talking about. Oh, by the way, congratulations to your Giants for making the Super Bowl.
Thank you. Now, it's funny you mentioned that. I've been listening to WFAN all week.
Oh.
For obvious reasons. They have an Android app. I plug it in at work, and I just listen at my desk. So I've been listening to Boomer and Carton, and then Evan and Joe, and then Francesa, your favorite. And I've heard the words New York Rangers mentioned twice, and once was yesterday, and every time Boomer was trying to talk about the Rangers. And Boomer's a Ranger fan. I think we all know that. Every time he mentioned the Rangers or tried to talk about them, Carton would play this sound effect. Nobody cares about hockey. He'd play it really loud. Just like completely playing it over whatever Boomer was saying. So, and I don't even remember what was said the other time that I heard hockey mentioned. But it was on, I think it was Joe and Evan and Joe might have said something about the Rangers on Monday beating Boston. But other than that, there's absolutely no hockey coverage. But I think it's hysterical that they show Islander games, or they play, they cover the Islander games. That radio station is on in 21 states, which means there's 21 states full of people not listening to the Islanders.
Well, now you go into my point. My point is, if the New York Rangers, who play in the middle of New York City, in Madison Square Garden, the world's most quietest, I mean dimmest, I mean famous arena, if they can't get any press in New York, in the New York metropolitan area, how are the Devils or the Islanders, no matter how well they do, ever going to get any good press if they ever are good again? I think there's no hope for those teams to draw people, to draw new fans, even if they succeeded and were top-notch teams. Look, the Devils didn't draw when they were the, you know, I don't want to make this a whole Devil Islander thing, but this is where I was going with it, is that the Devils didn't draw when they were winning, and if the Islanders, by some act of God or Satan, decided to be over 500 and be competitive, nobody would know. So how could they ever succeed? Fold up, go to another market, please. It's not worth it to stay here. Hockey is a cult sport, and dark cult is the best. It always has been. New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, you know it. We got California, Minnesota, Vegas, all of the Phoenix. We got fans everywhere. Just pack it up. All right. That's all I was thinking, if I was Charles Wang and I'm going, look at the Rangers. Look at how well they're doing. I'm so jealous. What are you jealous of? There's no press. There's no... How is he going to turn Long Island around on a hockey team when there's no press? There's nothing that – it generates no heat. It's stupid. I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking about that. I haven't thought about the Islands for months. That's how good the Rangers have been playing. Usually I got to go off on the Islands just to relieve some tension once in a while. But I want to talk about back to the Rangers here. I got to say, when we busted this guy's culones when he first came, me and Jim couldn't wait for this guy when he got on the team. When we heard he was going to be playing on the team to make up nicknames for this guy. What do we have? Matzahs by Strowman.
Spearchucker Strowman.
Spearchucker Strowman. What's the other guy? We had... Don't squeeze the Strowman.
Anton Strowman, the Sausage King.
Yes, Abe Strowman.
Let me explain the Spear Chucker one for anyone that's just here for the first time or maybe didn't hear it the last time, because the Rangers had shrouded the signing of Anton Strowman in such secrecy. He had actually signed 3 days before they made the announcement and the whole bit. And I said it was like in the movie MASH when they kept Spear Chucker Jones hidden under the tarp in the football game until the second half. And I suggested we call him Spear Chucker Strowman for that reason, because of the way they kept him hidden, and Eddie didn't think that was the best idea, so we moved on.
Yes. Well, I didn't get the reference at first. I did, but I really didn't think it was that fun. All right, now... I mean, I have to get you back for all those clips you're pulling on me.
Only the best.
All right,
go ahead. Back to Strowman.
So, I got to tell you what I like about this guy. He shoots. He gets the puck. He shoots it towards the net. And he gets it on net. He is succeeding where others are failing. I mean, wouldn't you agree that this guy has been... I mean, he went from Devil's Reject, couldn't make it in. Devil's Reject.
Isn't that a Rob Zombie movie?
Yeah. He was New Jersey Devil Reject to our fourth defenseman. And I think he's played admirably. And I give him a tip of the cap. As a matter of fact, I want to see him on the power play. which is so disgusting now, I don't even want to mention it. I just don't care anymore. I don't want to see bitching about the power play. I don't want to hear Sam say they're 0 for 29. I don't know what they say. Well, it only matters when you get them, the coaches say. That's what they say. That five, the 4-on-3 with Gabrick the other night, the other afternoon, it only counts when you get it. No. You're supposed to get them. You're killing it. The fans are ready to boo. And they've been holding it back. Let me tell you, they wanted to boo bad against Winnipeg. I think one of the reasons is I think you got to get Stroman on that. I mean, and this leads into the whole trade room itself. But what do you guys think about Stroman? I mean, I think he's played admirably. I think
I said on last week's show that he's played very well, and I wanted to see him on the power play. And you said, boy, there's a phrase I bet you never thought you'd say. You want Anton Stroman on the power play. And now it's become the phrase that you never thought you'd hear yourself say.
I don't know. If you would have told me last year the 3 and 4 would be Delzato and Stroman, I'd say,
yeah, boy.
Yeah, oh boy.
We're going to
truly an island
games.
Country.
Anton Stroman, the coach didn't know who he was, didn't know anything about him, nothing.
Yeah, so mad props, as they say on the street, to Abe Froman, Sausage King of Chicago.
Mad respect, yo.
Mad respect, yo.
Stroman represent.
I know. It's even Critical. If Critical agrees with me, then I know I'm right. He's the only guy that will take and shoot one-timers.
But not only that, like Eddie said, and like I said, he puts the puck near the net. Delzato shoots, you don't know where it's going.
Forget it. Girardi on the power play? What are you thinking? I went over a little bit of the tape on the power plays last night. It was terrible. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing. I'm watching the game. I'm watching, and they got a guy in front of that, but then they got a guy in the high slot with his back to the goalie. It was Brian Dubinsky.
Brian Dubinsky, 5 shots on goal in this game. Brian Dubinsky, Brian Dubinsky, Brian Dubinsky, Brian Dubinsky.
Brian Dubinsky? Who the fuck is that, Joe? Who the fuck is Brian Dubinsky? Oh, yeah, he's the guy with his back to the net.
Dubinsky!
What do you think of Brian Smolinski? What a fucking pair of idiots in there. What a pair. I got to tell you, we couldn't get two bigger chuckleheads if we voted on it.
Where's the, where'd you put that other Joe clip? The other one you played for me. I don't see it.
So probably Micheletti's.
But I just saw it. I think you're... Oh, there it is.
Shoot it.
I agree with him. He said that last night. He said,
shoot it.
Just shoot it. Too many passes on the power play. Just shoot the puck. Shoot the puck, Barry. Shoot the puck, Anton.
Yeah.
Shoot it.
So,
thanks, Joe.
He's finally heard them yell shoot it in the garden for so long up there in the 400s. Shoot! Shoot!
In between.
You know, when I...
in between shut up, Joe.
In between the shut up, Joe chants. So, Rangers beat Winnipeg 3-0. Henrik was good. You see Henrik do that little turtle move, like that slinky dink thing to keep the puck out of the net?
Yeah.
You know.
He only had to make 22 saves last night, but a few of them were pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Now, you said the Garden was quiet. You thought the Garden was quiet last night? Did you think it was quiet? They sounded pretty loud when they showed my tweet up on the Jumbotron. I mean, the place went...
I didn't say that it was quiet.
Well, you said it was the world's most quietest arena, so I was taking that to...
No, I've said that before. I think now that the Rangers are winning, it's a lot more louder in the beginning of the game.
Oh, okay.
But I've always felt that the Ranger fans are waiting for something to happen, whether to be excited or to be complaining. So they're waiting rather than be exciting right from the get-go.
Gotcha.
But now that the Rangers are the dominant force in the Eastern Conference and we're somehow able to beat the Boston Bruins.
Not as good as Boston.
Still not as good as Boston.
No, they can't
they
be.
They still haven't beaten
the
good team yet.
We haven't beaten Calgary 9-0. That's the measure.
Yeah, right. We got to beat these schlubby teams 10-0 in order to be good. Ass clowns. So I think the fans now are more into it. I was just, you know, me just riffing. It didn't mean anything. But no, I didn't think it was that. Hey, it's a Winnipeg game. It seemed pretty fairly loud. It's kind of a downer, though, because, like, you play Winnipeg, and now it's a week off. Like, what am I going to freaking do? I got nothing to watch. I only watch hockey.
There's no hockey. There's no football this week, unless you count the Pro Bowl, which I do not. It's a good time to recharge the battery.
Shoot it.
Thank you.
And I see some guys. Did you see the fights last night? See that the Rupp fight, the two fights.
Can Rupp stop fighting when they had the lead?
Well, he had no choice in that fight.
Why?
Because he made a hit, and the guy who was the guy he fought. Somebody give me his name.
What the hell was it? Hold on.
Mike Eagles. I don't know. Somebody give me a name from the past. Thorburn. I don't care.
Thorburn. Fought twice.
Thorburn got a hit, and I think it was Critical brought it up before. You can't get hit in this league. Or no, Thorburn's teammate got hit.
Right. Well, yeah, Rupp hit somebody, and then Thorburn jumped in.
Right.
And that's absolutely right. But I don't know. Sometimes, you know, stop fighting when they have the lead. Sometimes.
Was he going to turn him down?
Walk away. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Know when to walk away, know when to run.
I can tell you one thing. I think Tortorella's had enough of the power play. Impotence. I see him on the bench now. They pan after every power play. It's like, motherfucker, Jesus Christ. I think it's good. They got to do something. Can't be this bad.
He's the one that wanted his best friend in there, his coaching buddy, to run that power play.
I tell you, the Fonz's work is never done.
Well, the Fonz better wake up. I don't know who you got to get in there. Get Tim Kerr, Ray Shepard, any guys who used to score on the power play from the past. Didn't Prucha have a lot of power play goals? Get him as a coach. I mean, like, whatever we got to do. I mean, it's getting ugly. Here I am mentioning it, and I didn't want to mention it tonight. I'm sick of everybody mentioning it.
Uh-huh. 0-for-4 on the power play last night.
But
how about that penalty kill?
What?
Penalty kill has been...
Kill's fantastic.
It's on a tear.
It should be. Because of the lack of goal scoring, you know, especially recently, the whole game is a penalty kill. I don't want to go too far the other way. The Rangers are winning. I'm happy they're winning. But it doesn't seem that they have that flair that they had early. And this brings me into my next topic, Jim, if you allow me. If we got phone calls, I'll hold it till later.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do your thing, because otherwise we forget, and then the next thing you know, the show's over.
My thing is, the Rangers have not been dynamic offensively since the breakup of the gas line. Can we kind of agree on that? Am I somewhere accurate in this? I mean, that was the line that really was going pretty much consistently. But then Artem Anisimov made the mistake of not getting the puck deep and then was basically sent to the fourth line and the third line. And Artie has been struggling mightily, and he, frankly, hasn't been playing well. I'm not going to make excuses for the guy. But the thing that cheeses me off is that the thought has never crossed the mind of our beloved leader, John Tortorella, that perhaps reuniting that line may spark some offense again. Don't you think Artie has done enough time that he can be put back on the first line?
I
mean, everybody else. Now, where are you at this with this?
Well,
where are you at?
If I'm not mistaken, I think they were reunited for a little while last night.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken,
reunited and it feels so good.
Yeah, I remember seeing them on the ice together, but I don't know if they show. I'm looking at the trying to look at the stats here to see if the. If it shows lines, but it doesn't. I can tell you
now,
that the Rangers were actually out hit last night. That
I tell you, Winnipeg was loaded for bear. They were hitting everything and hard.
34 hits.
They hit.
Rangers only had 32 hits last night, but that's more than they had against Boston.
Now with that said, and. I don't think, well, I can't say this, but I am a big Artem Anisimov fan. But the one problem with Artem Anisimov is this, and it's not what every other, I see some Ranger fans are so off the mark with this nonsense. Let me address this because I'm passionate about this. That he is a typical Russian, that he disappears for games at a time. I saw one guy tell you on the Facebook group, I swear to God, I was going to have an embolism. He's like Kovalev, like all those other Russians who don't show up, like Kovalev, Fedorov? Fedorov was one of the best two-way players Russians ever to play the game.
Unless he's talking about
two-way player.
Was he talking about Fedor?
No, not Fedor, Fedorov. Sergei Fedorov.
Oh, well, when I think Fedorov, I think better.
What are you talking about? These guys are like, Fedorov's a Hall of Famer. Going to be. So anyway, but the problem with Artie, it's a mental thing. And I really think it's going to hinder his progress down the line. I know it's only, 2 years up here, full time. I think he's a steady guy, but if the right trade were to come along, I would have to say goodbye. And I have to take the heartstrings and say, listen, if the right deal comes by, I'm willing to part with Artie. Now, I know a lot of Ranger fans are already there. They don't need the cajoling or the convince. Me, I know what he is. He's a good defensive player who has a little trouble finishing. I mean, but he's still young.
Mandar would like to recommend trading Artie for Grachev.
Well, now that Grachev is under Ken Hitchcock's tutelage and has managed to get a goal and I think two assists and his three assists in his NHL career, I don't think I'd go for that anyway. No. So now everybody's talking about Shea Weber, right? That's the big thing now.
It's the new shiny toy.
Well, has this been reported?
Someone mentioned it in the Facebook group that the Post was reporting it, but I didn't see it anywhere on the Post.
Girardi for Norris is saying Anisimov, Zuccarello, and a first for Getzlaff. So let's give him nothing for Getzlaff.
I mean,
a first round draft pick this year means nothing. Zuccarello is a midget. And Anisimov hasn't scored in 10 games. I think L.A. will go for that.
We can't make NHL 12 trades, guys.
I mean, Anaheim.
Now, see, now, Mandar is probably, if you look at what Mandar just posted, you know, people aren't going to like it, but he's probably more in the right neighborhood.
Artem Anisimov, Mark Stahl, and a first for Weber.
That's really the Ferraro brothers. Now, Girardi, now you're talking. Throw in the Ferraro brothers.
Yes, throw the Ferraro brothers, those two.
Chris and Peter, they can have them. And Pavel Brendel, too.
Yeah, first of all, isn't Getzlaff's contract redonkulous?
So what? What do we care about that? Contract, schmontract.
Yeah, I don't like Getzlaff. I just... Now, Mark Stahl, I see a lot of people, now he can be traded.
he's become expendable.
He's become expendable.
Anton Strawman made Matt Stahl expendable.
Matt Stahl.
Matt Stahl.
I think it's that's too much stuff. I love how Ranger fans want to give all the junk away for something.
Well, of course.
Then again, I mean, we did trade Scott Gomez, so anything is possible with Uncle Moneybags over there. so I don't know. It's interesting times. And the trading deadline comes early this year, right? It's like February something.
It's in a month.
It's in a month.
And
so you got a month.
Last year, if I'm not mistaken, I'd have to go back and look, but I think right about this time last year was when the deals, there were more, the big deals happened about a month before the trading deadline. I think that was last season. We saw quite a few trades.
Wow.
That was before the Rangers got John Mitchell. That was their big blockbuster.
I'm sure we made fun of that and now are praising him, as usual.
Yeah, just go back and pull that clip.
Yeah, and Girardi for Norris is bringing up another one. I've heard about Shane Doan. What, him and Glenn Sather the same age? I mean, Shane Doan's an old dude.
I don't want
but
Shane.
But he's good experience. I mean, he is great in the locker room, that guy.
I don't want Shane.
I don't know where he fits. And I'm hearing Ryan Whitney. You hearing anything about Ryan Whitney?
Ray Whitney?
I think it's Ray or Ryan. I think they're two different guys.
Eli Whitney?
The Cotton Gin, yeah. The inventor of the Cotton Gin.
Marcy suggested Ray Whitney. I'd take Ray Whitney before I'd take Doan. Doan's an old man. Think about what you're going to have to give up. I mean, you're talking about the Coyotes captain. You know, he's a fan favorite. They absolutely love him. The guy's an original Winnipeg Jet, for Christ's sake. He's 35.
I
don't know.
Oh, I don't see that.
I don't know.
You brought the other one up. My mind. Okay. It clicked in my mind. The Vinny Prospel people. Lay off. We've gone down that tan. I just don't want it back. I don't care how many points per game he's got. It's over. You gotta cut the strings. You cut the umbilical cord, Ranger fans. Next thing you're gonna say Paul Mara again. You're driving me nuts. What do you think about Vinny Prospel?
I don't want Vinny Prospel. Didn't we do that already?
Yeah.
It's enough. He had nothing left last year when he came back.
Oh, but I know. He looked terrible in the playoffs.
What are his numbers?
Yeah, but he's got 35 points in 46 games.
Really?
Maybe we can get him at...
Get him back?
we can get him back and Fettitutin, too.
He's got 9 goals and 21 assists.
It's not bad on Columbus. Still don't want him back.
I don't want him back. You want him back? What are you going to trade?
No, I don't want him back.
What are you going to get? Come on.
Columbus will take Zuccarello. Yeah, I'll start rumors now. Zuccarello. Columbus lost.
Now, was there any truth to what I saw yesterday? Some that was being bantered back and forth that the Rangers were talking about, were inquiring about Carter. Who reported? Did anybody report that, or was that just tweeted? Yeah,
Sergeant Carter from Gomer Pyle.
Carter Country, Victor French.
Oh boy, that's bad. Carter Country. Wow.
I know my
horrible
history.
That 70s show.
I know my history. Yeah, I mean, you could spend your whole day chasing Twitter trade rumors. I just saw it come up, and I didn't read it any further. So I don't know if that was
Jeff Carter have a psychotic contract.
I don't know.
I mean, weren't we all making fun of how Columbus signed this buffoon? I don't like Sergeant Carter, Jack Carter, the comedian, either. why are we all going after Columbus guys? We wanted Rick Nash last week, Jeff Carter.
Hey, I made that Nash deal happen. I figured it all out for you. I see captains trading Dubinsky and a number one for Carter.
Oh, that'll work.
I don't want Ginla either. Just so we're clear on that, Mark Twinborough just mentioned it in the chat room. I don't want Ginla.
They're not getting Ginla. Ginla's like a national treasure up there. They're not getting him. They're not going to let him come down.
National treasure.
He is. Are you kidding me? He could be a run for, what do they got there, Pontiff? Or what do they call the people up there in Alberta? The Pontiff.
Prime Minister?
Yeah, he could be the Prime Minister of Alberta, even though that would be Canada. But if Alberta had a Prime Minister, he could win. Now, he's not being – they love that guy. There'll be riots in the streets of Calgary.
Wow.
Well, 50 of them.
Yeah.
What else?
Who else we trade for? We're not getting a Ginla. We don't want that. I don't want Doan.
I don't want anybody. It'll be interesting to see at the trade line if, say, they could pull off just a nice little trade.
Like for John Mitchell?
Yeah, for John Mitchell or Chris Newberry.
Ray Whitney, 15 goals, 27 assists. Salary is $3.5 million. No, $3
million. $3 million. You know what? Justin Fried just came up with the guy I would trade. I would start trading guys for the future for. And this is the guy who started the whole ball rolling earlier. Bobby Ryan. 24?
24.
Come on. Who am I giving up for him, though?
Dubinsky.
Everybody's got Dubinsky to trade.
We've traded Dubinsky a dozen times in the last 2 months. Dubinsky.
Brian Dubinsky.
Bye-bye.
No relation to Brandon Smolinski.
That's the only guy I'm interested in making a big deal for. And I don't want to trade. I don't want Chris Kreider even mentioned. But on the other hand, I don't like people who laud guys who've never played in the NHL over guys already proven themselves in NHL. Chris Kreider's going to be better than Bobby Ryan. I don't know that. How do you know that? Because he's good in college? He's good in, against amateur competition? So is Doug Wickenheiser. So is Hugh Jessamyn. I don't know.
What if you could get Bobby Ryan for Chris Kreider and a first round pick?
I'd do it in a second. The pick means nothing this year. I'm doing that in a second. Let Chris Kreider, hey, listen, have fun out west. Meg can go watch it.
What about Kreider and a first-round pick for Ethan Werrick?
Would you stop joking? This is a serious broadcast.
Since when?
I know.
When the hell did that happen?
Listen, if Ethan can't score with the San Antonio Rampage, I don't think he's going to be seeing the NHL, so no. Hey, look at this. Mr. French is saying no way. Look at it, you guys already.
What?
You're coveting Kreider that much.
Ethan Werrick, wow.
Stan says we can't get Bobby Ryan under the cap. Didn't we go through this? Was Stan?
I could fit anybody under the
cap. Yeah.
You watch me. Ethan Werrick, 3 goals, 3 assists in 35 games for the Portland Pirates of the AHL, and he's a minus 14.
Well,
so see, we can get him for cheap.
We've already figured out the cap issue. The Rangers can get by getting rid of Volsky, the Wojtkis, it's about $6 million we can clear.
Ah, we cap schmap. That's easy.
Cap schmap. That's easy to do.
Werrick, he got traded just for coming on this show. That's why Ethan Werrick got traded.
Right.
Pretty much coming on this show pretty much derailed Ethan Werrick's career.
You're not going to take Bobby Ryan as 35 goals? You're stupid. You should not. Over Chris Kreider? I met Chris Kreider. Thought Artemon Isimov was small, skinny. This kid has got nothing on him. I heard he's fast as the wind, though. So it's all whatever happens. You know, if nothing happens, Jimmy, my boy. You're a plebe, Jimmy. You're a plebe. It doesn't bother me. I'll wait for the future. I'm not going to be one of those impatient Ranger fans. But then again, if the right deal comes along, I'm going to say yes. I'm not getting attached to my players, especially ones that have never played. Now, Cutter, you know, Cutter, why do you have to talk? Why do you have to speak even in chat? You with the... Robbie saying congrats to me on my Giants. Wrong host! Cutter's saying that JT Miller is greater than McElrath.
Cutter!
You know, speaking of Dylan McElrath, my friends, he just got suspended, I think, for 9 games.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what he did.
Disembowel somebody
but,
or something?
All we heard...
I'm looking it up
all
as we speak.
Okay, you said, and all we heard was, "Oh, we could have had Cam Fowler." Yeah, look at Cam Fowler's stats this year. Suckful.
From who's this? From BlueLineStation.com, New York Rangers top prospect Dylan McElrath has been suspended 8 games by the Western Hockey League for his hit on the Victoria Royals defenseman Jesse Zegras during Wednesday night's game. The length of the suspension is likely not just a result of the hit itself, but also the fact that McElrath is a repeat offender. This is the second time this season he's been suspended. And there is video on here. I'll post the link in the chat room, courtesy of BlueStation.com.
That's what I like. I want repeat offenders on the Rangers. Captain says, Cam Fowler has a minus equal to the national debt.
We want repeat offenders on this team. We want the Rangers rolling into town and they're putting bounties on Dylan McElrath's head.
That's right. Want to take those guys out in body bags. Bring in the truck. Is that what he's known as? The truck, I think. And we got McDonough, the Mack truck. And here's another one. Montreal with all their PK Subban hype. Guess who's having a suckful season this year? PK, the dirtiest Subban in the league. Having a terrible year. He's under the gun in Montreal. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Ryan McDonough, former Montreal first round pick. Fantastic getting the job done. He's even got more points, I think, than Subban this year. It's a hell of a lot. better defenseman. Lightyear is already better defensively. That guy, Subban's a giveaway machine. So things are looking good for the Rangers. And they're drafted. And listen, I'll agree with Cutter on this. JT Smith looks fantastic. Christian Thomas, another guy who's been scoring. Everything looking good in the prospect land. So that's it for my little dissertation.
All right. You ready to go to the phones?
Yes.
All right. Really quick before we go to the phones. Giant fans, join me Friday night, probably 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Do a little Giants radio show. Cutter, if you want to call in, that will be your opportunity. You can tell me why the Patriots are going to beat the Giants, and we'll get into it, Cutter. So that's your big opportunity, since I know you've been shit talking to me for 2 weeks now about how things are going to be different. So Friday night, 10 o'clock right here, be in the same place, in the same chat room, same phone number to call in. We'll do a little Giants thing. All right, so to the phones we go, holding the longest, 718-225. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
This must be Stan.
It must be Stan. Hi, it's you, Stan.
Yes, it is.
How's it going, Stan?
How are you, Stan?
Not that good. I got them with Time Warner Cable.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got to do something soon.
So how are you watching the games?
Well, I got it on something called Hockey Streams, but it breaks up, it freezes, it buffers. So it's unwatchable. So I'm going to have to probably go to Fios.
That sucks. And there's no resolution in sight?
Not that I hear of anything. You know, if this was a team like a few years ago, you wouldn't care, but they're in first place.
So, Stan, so we have a disagreement here about Kreider. What's going on?
Well, what about Kreider? No, I think he's going to be a great player.
Now, you don't want to part with him at all?
Probably not. I'd stay the course.
Okay.
I think the team to go all the way probably needs one more scorer. But if he leaves at the end of the college season, he might be the one, so I don't want to make any rash moves. That's just the way I do it. I think the team is still growing. I mean, I'm astounded that they got the best record in the league. I mean, it just amazes me.
I think we all are.
And especially when you consider all the guys who aren't scoring. You know, I mean, the team, it's goaltending, defense, and more goaltending. You know, they score 3 goals a game. They win 90% of their games because they don't give up anything.
They get the lead.
Yeah.
They get the lead. They get the lead in the first period. They got some astronomical record.
I think they lost one game this year like that.
What a thunk
it. Nah, it's amazing. And if a couple of guys get hot, then they'll be in even better shape. Like you were talking about the power play, which is, you know, ridiculous. And basically they got 3 guys scoring on the team. And no power play. And they still win, 3 out of every 4 games.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing when you think about it, especially recently, just because they haven't really had that. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It seems like they've been hanging on more than taking the game, I guess. Maybe the explosiveness hasn't been there.
But they keep winning all the big games. They beat Boston. I'm amazed that they beat Philly in the Winter Classic when they were down 2-0. You know, they've beaten Flyers 3 out of 3. They beat Boston. They beat the Devils the one time they played. You know, all the big times they play a big team, they win the game.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if it's a chemistry thing or the I just think this is like a special group. I hate to use that word special, but I really do. They're kind of a special group of guys.
It's
they
a
don't
team.
Want to lose.
They were a very together team. It is chemistry. That's why I wouldn't make any rash moves.
If
they don't go all the way this year, then, they'll bring in a couple more guys next year, and they'll be better next year. I mean, Henry
let me ask
better
this.
And better. What?
Let me ask you this, Stan, because I was thinking about this today on the drive-in. See, I make it believe like I actually drive into a studio. But I was on the drive-in. I was thinking, if the Rangers were to get ousted in the first round of the playoffs this year, that would be a tremendous disappointment, and I think a lot of Ranger fans would discount all the progress that they made this year. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I think they got to get to the conference finals this year.
That's your bar for a successful season's conference finals?
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, where's your...
My preseason prediction, conference finals.
Oh, you always predict they're going to go far. And I always lowball them.
I don't always predict. I didn't predict before last season that they were going to the conference finals.
You know,
but
and Mandar always say, oh, they could be as good as anybody. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, until this team can score goals, they're not going anywhere. It's the same thing. So the playoffs are going to be, it'll be interesting, and hopefully they'll have home advantage in the playoffs, which they haven't had for years and years.
Yeah, but I don't think that makes that much of a difference. Teams always win on the road all the time. It's usually 50-50 or, 55-45.
Mm-hmm. Who's been your biggest surprise this year?
On the team?
Yeah.
McDonough? Oh, no, Delzato probably.
Yeah, I think I had Delzato. I had him AHL bound. I don't think he's going to make this.
I mean, he's, I don't know what his plus minus is, but he was, a couple weeks ago, he was like at the top of the league. I know that's kind of a wishy-washy stat, but still, if you lead the league in plus minus, it's got to mean something. He was the only, I remember he was the only non-Boston player, like in the top five or six.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that. I think the guy who was actually another is, like you said, McDonough has just been a rock. I mean, Girardi, listen, he plays, he's excellent defenseman. I mean, he just sacrificed it in and out, but you know what? I watched McDonough play, and he's at his the level he's playing as far exceeds what I think Staal or Girardi were doing in this early in their career. I really think he's that steady. That's the way I look at it.
He could have been on the team. I'll tell you, their defense, they've got one hell of a defense, especially when you consider that, Staal missed most of the year, Sal's been out. I mean, when you take a guy like Strowman, you're talking about Jim, here's a guy who was basically picked up, off waivers, as well as Roy Whitgift. I mean, these are marginal players, and they put this guy in. He's playing as the second line, the top four defenseman. Everybody's just so solid on the defense. They don't give up any goals.
Now, cast-offs.
I'm almost convinced they could put anybody in there.
Yeah. And should we bring back
Dmitry Kalinin and try it out? Test your theory?
I'd still like to see Igor Yulianov. He's my all-time favorite.
Number 44.
Turnover and a penalty on the same shift. That was him.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Stan.
All right, guys.
We're going to take some other calls, all right?
You go right ahead.
Good to talk to you.
All right, take care, guys.
Yeah.
You too.
Take care.
Bye. The great Stan. Hold on. There's a message coming in here. All right. Rock, what's going on?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Pleasure following Stan. Yeah, that insight was really good. Listen to him. I was at the game last night, and it's funny. I was watching that team, that Winnipeg team, and they have no Evander Kane and no Dustin Byfuglien, but their power play was so much better than ours. So it's a real shame. And I leaned over to my buddy and I said, if this team could figure it out on the friggin' power play, they would be unstoppable. I mean, the Lundqvist covers up mistakes, so when they've had deficiencies on defense. This team just can't score on on the power play, and if they could ever do it, and they would. I got your message. If they could ever do it, if they could ever score on the power play, they would be really be unstoppable. And and the third goal, that elusive third goal, and I talked about it last show. I mean, if they could score three goals consistently, they would be very hard to contend with in a playoff series because they just don't give a team a lot. And I've noticed, and they put a great stat up last night, that the Rangers are 22-1-1, or they're 23-1-1 now when they score the first goal. I really believe that that's the mindset of the team. If they can get on the board first, they shut the other team down, and they wait for them to make the mistakes. And I'll tell you, they play, as much as I hate to admit this, they play a very similar style to the Devils coming out of when the Rangers won the Cup and when the Devils were as good as they were. You know, let's be honest. I mean, Brodeur was good, but he also had a great defense in front of him. I mean, you know, Mike Richter was facing 40 shots a night, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, while Brodeur was facing 20, 22 shots. It's a big difference. It's a lot easier to be an elite goalie when you have a great defense in front of you. So, you know, this goes to show you that Lundqvist is having one of his best years, but also that the Rangers are playing so well in front of him, it does help from the whole team aspect. Also to touch on another thing that Stan brought up as far as next year's roster, I mean, not to go too far ahead, but next year's roster about, you know, staying the course and not sacrificing people and doing this. You know, at some point, you're going to have to look at the roster with guys like Kreider and JT Miller and McElrath and Erickson and the list goes on of guys that are looking to make that next step. You have to look at the current roster and decide what guys you feel you're not going to be able to take that next step with. And if there's a player that they could get right now and without decimating their lineup, I think you need to do that. I mean, there have been instances where players have been traded that they didn't feel was part of the ongoing process of building the organization. And the Rangers have a lot of depth. I mean, as you see, John Mitchell's actually been their best forward, I think, in the last two games. So in any given night, it could be anybody. So where I stand on this is I really believe that, you know, this next couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline is really going to make a big difference in where this team goes and what Sather does at the trade deadline. Like I said, you're dealing with a very weak Eastern Conference. Now, if they get to the Cup, you know, God willing, you know, any one of those top four teams can knock them off, I think. Detroit, St. Louis, Vancouver, Chicago, all great teams. The difference that I feel is I think if this team can get a little bit more offense and they can get that third goal, if they can score three goals consistently every single game, they can be unbeatable, even with the defense they have now. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I feel, well, listen, you're absolutely correct with the power play. Imagine if we were to get one, or God forbid, two power play goals in a game.
Right.
How much more comfortable these games would be.
Even one power play goal a game. Even one.
Because the Rangers will stifle you in the neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
They'll forecheck you to death. And when you do get the offensive zone time, they'll go down, they'll block shots, and then they got Lundqvist to bail you out. So
right.
It would be extremely frustrating for another team to try to come back on you. And yes, a lot of coaches say it's a race to three goals. You know, that's what the mantra they put out there. And with the Rangers, it really is a race to three goals. I feel if the Rangers get three goals, they're going to win, 90% of their games. I don't know what the stats are, but that's how I feel. And I guess, I really thought that when Brad Richards came here, that the power play would be much improved. And it's
Eddie,
not.
Yeah, you're right, and that's a fantastic point. You mean to tell me the horses that Winnipeg had last night, the guys that had playing, and Tobias Enstrom's a great defenseman, but Ron Hainsey, I mean, he's probably their next best defenseman. Bogosian's okay. I don't want to sell him short. But they move the puck around. It has to be the coaching. I mean, these, they're not moving. They're like statues out there. I watched Callahan take the puck. He didn't move once. He stood behind the net, and he was. They were like, no one was moving. There was nobody open. They don't move enough on the power play. Second problem is they have nobody on this team, and though the defense, I love it, nobody from the point that could blast the puck. Strowman has the best shot on the point, that's not saying a lot. You see Delgado, Girardi and Luce used to get the puck through. He doesn't even get the puck through anymore. They have nobody on that defense that can get the puck through, and if the team is not going to make plays down low, then you need somebody from the point that's able to blast the puck. At this stage, they don't have that person.
No,
so
they don't have.
In essence, it has to be the power play, the coaching. Because you know, I saw the Winnipeg's power play last night, and they only had two. But I'll tell you, they moved and they moved the puck around, and they had some pretty good opportunities.
I just can't say it's the. I said this last week and the week before. There's no with the personnel they have. And I know, you know, they don't have a lot of skill guys, but the Rangers should at least be in the top 15 with Brad Richards and Marian Gaborik. That's it. End of story. With Derek Stepan, too. Throw him in the mix. He's a good playmaker.
When the Rangers had a decent power play, which was, I would say, not for a long time, but when it was decent, coming out of the lockout and even 2 years after that.
Herb Brooks was the coach. When they had Mike Rogers and Mark Pavlich on the power play, they were great.
Yeah,
Rayo Ruotsalainen. What do you call Ruotsalainen, Eddie? Plexi-rexi?
Plexiglass, all done.
I mean, they had Shanahan, guy could blast the puck. They had Yager, the guy could blast the puck off for one time. How many plays you see last night where they fanned on a one-timer? I mean, you see a lot of that now. Again, to beat a dead horse, but I will because the power play is so putrid. If this team could get a friggin' power play goal, they would be so much better, and they wouldn't be struggling to win these two goal games or 2-0 games. You know what I mean?
If we had our power play going, we would have the goal differential that the Boston Bruins have.
Yeah.
Think about it. One or two goals a game, we'd be the unbeatable Boston Bruins. Oh, wait, we beat them. So, yeah, it's frustrating, and you're right. So I think it's the coaching. And I think they have a tough time transitioning from a team that cycles and gets opportunities off the forecheck. I mean, that's how they do it. It's, you know, I said this last week. Everybody's got their back to the net. You know, and when it's time to open it up, I just feel like they don't know what they're doing. You're right. They're not moving the puck. Everybody's standing around. I don't know. I got no answers.
I have a real pet peeve. I usually come home and I after I go to a game and I'll watch Rangers in 60 because you miss things when you're at the game and opposed to watching it on TV and you don't get the wonderful color commentary and everything else, but you know, I watch them, and I'll tell you, it's worse in person because you see so much more, and you know, I don't know what the next step is for this team, but you know, again, going back to what Stan said, you know, I'm not saying to mortgage the future. I'm not saying you should trade away the entire farm club for Shane Doan or for Timo Salani or any. I do not want Vinny Prospel back. I'm going to be on record as saying that. We've been there, done that. I'm tired. You know, say the love bringing back Martin Rutschinski 400 times and Jan Halavich and, you know, whoever else is going to bring back 100,000 times. I do not want Vinny Prospel back on this team. Been there, done that. We need somebody that can score consistently, not once in a blue moon. And, you know, that's what I'm going to say about that. But they do need to go out there and hopefully add a piece that's going to get this team to the. I'll tell you now, a first-round exit is a failure.
A first-round
exit is an absolute failure. This team needs to go to get to the third round, I think, this year. With how weak the Eastern Conference is, and especially if they make it, hopefully, in the top 4 seed, they have home ice advantage, where they've been fantastic this year. They need to get to the third round. Other than that, to me, it's a failure. It's a failure.
I'm going with second round, seven games if they lose. Depends how they lose in the second round. But they need to win a playoff series. The natural progression of this team in order to improve is to get some playoff series wins under their belts. So you're right. Third round sounds about right.
And I don't think they could do it. You know, I let me rephrase that. I think if he can set them up, and I'm going to be delicate when I say it, if he can set them up going in to the playoffs, I think they're going to be better off than going in status quo. I mean, that's just my own personal opinion. I just think the team needs – I think it needs a little jolt too, because you remember, you have a team that – all right, the chemistry is great. The guys are getting along. They're all buddy-buddy, chummy-chummy. But sometimes guys need to feel that their jobs, you know, could be on the line, that, you know, that nobody's job is safe. Sometimes when players feel, oh, well, we have a good chemistry, we have this, we have that, they get a little bit complacent. So sometimes you need to make a little tweak to get the team motivated. Like I said, I'm not saying they should trade away everybody, but sometimes they need to do that.
You need to add a player that may give you some juice for 20 games. Just shake up the team. I mean, this is not like we're trying to break up, the world's greatest team here. I mean, you know, sometimes teams add guys and it works out, you know, to a good team. If you got a chance to make the team better, I say do it. I have no problems with that. I already started off this broadcast saying that if Artie has to go, I mean, have you watched him? Did you get any diagnosis on him? I know you're at the games.
Mm-hmm.
Ranger fans, there's some Ranger fans who just really like him, and there are other Ranger fans who just can't wait to get rid of him.
I like Anisimov. I always said I think he has one of the best wrist shots on the team. But the problem is he doesn't shoot the puck enough. And same thing with Stefan. I think Stefan has a very good shot. He has a very good shot. Again, he doesn't shoot the puck enough. You know, you can't be feeding Gabrick all night. You have to sometimes shoot the puck yourself. You know, I mean, teams are going to just...
You've become predictable.
Exactly.
And you shortchange yourself from scoring goals.
Right.
I think he's too unselfish, the kid.
Right, and then to go back, and again, to make a move, I'm not saying to make a move just for the sake of making a move. I want to make a move to make the team better. So, and not if a guy gets hurt, too, that I have, you know, Wojtek Volski or Eric Christensen coming in, you know, to be our savior either.
Speaking of Eric Christensen, he's back with the team. He's returned. He's pumped up, worked out, well-conditioned, ready to go. He's just lying in the weeds.
Yeah. And the next will be Aaron Voros coming back.
Oh,
gosh. So that's it, guys. But like I said, I want to just say this in closing. I am extremely proud of the team this year. I'm one of the most pessimistic people you'll ever meet. I'm sure you've seen some of my Twitter comments. But I'm very happy with the direction of the team this year. And, I'm looking forward to come back after the All-Star break and hopefully kicking some more ass. So we'll end it with
All
that.
Right.
All right?
Yeah, Rock. We really should be happy about the way the Rangers are playing. Yeah, you know,
I just want them to do better. And that, as a fan, the bar has been raised as far as I'm concerned. The bar has been raised. I mean, you know, our expectations should have risen because of how well the team played. And we shouldn't settle now for mediocrity. I got that out right.
Yep.
That's
yeah,
it.
You got it.
The bar has been raised. Let's go. Let's see what this team's really made of. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Rock.
All right, Rock. Take it easy. Rock was given the State of the Union there for a minute.
Yeah, I like it. And it's funny because it's funny because Stan's been very pessimistic in the past. I mean, he's always like the same old thing, and even he's chanced. I think they suckered us all in again, Jim, this year.
Setting us up.
Oh yeah, for the big four.
Everybody's.
No, I don't think so. I have faith in this group. I do. I mean, come on. How can you not get excited about Carl Hagelin?
Of course.
Hagelin. Guy is speedy. Last night during the broadcast, they made the comment. He makes Whatever line he's on, he makes them better. Well, I think he should be playing on the first line. They really shouldn't be putting him on the fourth line. If he makes every line better, we should have him in the best line. But, yes. So, yes, it's a good time to be a Ranger fan. The bar has been set higher. And I guess, you know, Rangers got to win some playoff games. I think they will. I can't see why they wouldn't. They're already built for playoff hockey.
Agreed. All right. You want to talk to Mandar, and then we'll wrap this up?
Yes.
All right. Well, if anybody else wants to get in, 646-478-4692. And at this point, we will say good evening to Mandar. Mandar, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's the eve of the All-Star break. The team's in first place in the conference, and the biggest thing that we're worried about is the power play. It's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing.
Could be worse. Does anybody know when the last time they went into the All-Star break in first place was?
It's ancient history. Anything that happened before the lockout is ancient history.
No. Okay. That might be the last.
What are you guys?
The
power play. Interesting discussion. Yes, everybody stands around on the power play because they try to do something different than what they're doing during the games. Their offensive system for the Rangers, how is it set up when they're not on a power play? What do? They throw a puck in, they hustle to it, they dig in the corners, they cycle around, and then they crash the net. Because why? Because you don't have the open ice to really try to set things up. Then all of a sudden, when they're given time on the power play, what happens? We don't cycle on a power play. So we stand around not knowing what the hell to do. Now, Torts has done a great job this year, 5-on-5, but this is something you need to work on and practice to show them it's a different offensive system on the power play than it is on 5-on-5. Because that's, you notice what they're doing on 5-on-5, and then when they try to do something different offensively, it blows up in their face. You could bring in Gretzky in his prime, Messier in his prime, all the best scorers in league history in the prime. It's not the players, it's the system. So Brad Richards, you came in here to make a power play better. He would make a power play better if they had a different offensive system that actually focused on puck moving on a power play rather than, hey, wait a minute, the puck's not in the corner, I don't know what to do with it. One of the callers said Callahan had the puck, didn't know what to do with it. That's because he's not digging in the corner looking to make something quick happen and grind out. It sounds like an excuse, but they're not coached to do anything different offensively. There's no creativity. So that's why you have a power play that doesn't know what to do, because they're never taught what to do offensively when they have time.
Interesting theory. Eddie, are you still there?
Brian Dubinsky, 5 shots on goal in this game. Brian Dubinsky.
I'm loving the Dubinsky, get the puck in the slot, spin around, and shoot it wide.
What is he doing? He's like in the high slot with his back to the goalie, and he gets the puck, and then you're right. I said the same thing. I feel like the transition from the way they play 5-on-5, they're clueless on the power play. They want to go behind the net. That's the only thing they know how to do.
That's what it is. Because again, the Tortorella years that he's been here for the Rangers have all been years where the power play hasn't been very good at all. Again, it's because he's myopic, big word, one way of doing things on offense. You know what? And they do it 5-on-5. I don't think right now there's a better team in hockey than the Rangers, 5-on-5. And yes, I'm going to go against the Bruins with that too. But the Rangers are the best team in the league 5-on-5. Why? Because they have a role that they play to perfection, game in and game out. They'll have the various stinker every now and then, but certainly that's the way big of the exception, not the rule. But they know how to do the 5-on-5, the grinding game. They've got that down. You can never say this team is a finesse team. They have a couple of finesse players, but they don't play a full finesse game. When it comes to the power play, you need more finesse. You're not going to grind a power play goal. It just doesn't happen in this league. You got to be able to create, be much more creative on offense than the Rangers at this point are being coached to do.
Do you think, maybe this is a stretch, but do you think maybe they're afraid to make a mistake because their coach is so, you know, I guess very reactive to any kind of mistakes out there, and that's why they don't throw caution to the wind a little bit more and play it safe on the power play? Or do you
be
really
honest,
think it's
Do they really look like they have a plan in mind? They don't. I mean, I'm watching this game tonight, watching the Red Wings get crushed by the Canadiens. But the Red Wings go on the power play, and there's constant movement because that's the way they play the game. They have a lot of flow to it. You know, you have a lot of movement. There's players interchanging and switching spots. And even the Canadiens are doing the same thing, too. But you put the Rangers against the Red Wings or the Canadiens in a five-on-five situation, not going to be the same thing. But the Rangers, again, that's because the Rangers, again, they don't have a clue out there. They're not driven into the ice like I'm sure Torts does during practices to do the grinding, win the battles in the corners, win the battles along the boards, get the puck to the front of the net through forecheck, through any other means necessary, and then, you know, pounce on the rebounds and get the high-quality goals. Rangers don't do that on a power play because they have much more time. How much time? Don't you always see the Rangers kill half the penalties by themselves? The other teams don't really have to do very much because they don't need to move around very much. I mean, while of course there's not a whole lot of movement, but the Ranger forward, you look at this, it's visual confusion. That should be the name of their power play. It's visual confusion. They have no idea what to do.
That's true. I mean, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I really do think that.
It's funny because they could be having momentum. They work really hard, and then they draw a penalty from being taken down or just from their sheer work, and then you all of a sudden you're worried about stopping momentum when you get a man advantage.
I mean, it's certainly true that they're responsible more for their power play downfalls and futility than the other team is in their penalty killing.
It's true.
Every team's penalty killing looks great. So it certainly has to be the Rangers' fault. I mean, I think that's logical.
Right,
I mean,
that's the only thing that's going to hold them back in the playoffs. If they're going to have a problem in the playoffs, it's going to be because scoring chances are a lot more limited than in the regular season. And so you're not and you need to take advantage of these types of breaks when you get them. You can't to have a horrible power play at the playoffs will be their Achilles heel. They're not going to go very far if they can't fix it.
No, I think so. How did the Rangers do on faceoffs? I know last week's show we were talking about Rangers' ability. If I had to talk about something bad about the season, I would say the power play and the faceoffs.
They were good on faceoffs last night, especially Richards. That's the good news. Boyle was bad on faceoffs, but not even that. Richards, most of his faceoffs were against Brian Little, who's not a true center. So he dominated Little on faceoffs, but again, you know, Little's not a true center. So, but Boyle was bad. I don't remember the numbers, but
it's hard to use the Rangers against the Jets as a measuring stick on your faceoff. I think that they weren't that bad, though, against the Bruins, were they?
I mean, they were everybody was under 50%. Boyle.
Yeah, I mean, and
the defensive face-offs were really bad. That's the you know, that was a real problem.
Well, and that's a testament, too, to the wingers not breaking out and getting out there as well. But the centers, I think, are losing them a lot more clean faceoffs than the battles to win the faceoffs. So, yeah, it's always been a pet peeve of mine, faceoffs too. So, again, but that can be remedied. That's not in my opinion, at this point, that doesn't have that's not an issue for the Rangers. Power play is going to be the only issue, but that goes in later on here. You know, people are talking about. We were talking in the chat room here about, you know, possible trades and things moving around. And we remember back in 1994 when we had the league. We were number one in the league for just about the entire year. Come the trade deadline, and you know that Keenan always had a problem with softer players, but traded a sniper in Mike Gardner, who scored 40 a year for us, and traded a young scoring machine in Tony Granato to get the type of players the Rangers needed for the Cup run. At the time, we were all shocked. If you all remember, at that time, you know, trading deadline, and we're sailing around, and we're feeling good about it. So all of a sudden, they make all these deals and give up a young Marchand to get McTavish, and we're like, "What the hell's going on here?" We're in first place, and we're cruising along, and all of a sudden, we're trading top six forwards to get Brian Noonan, Stefan Matteau. But you see that it takes that type of a grinding player, and those guys were scorers at the time that could actually put the puck in the net. What the Rangers need to do is use whatever they have as a strength right now, and that's the defense, and that happens to be a couple of young forwards they may have to deal to get that piece of the pie that they're missing on the top two lines. I'm thinking they have probably four true top six forwards, maybe five, but not enough to really get you deep into the playoffs. You need a guy like a Shane Doan type or even an Aginla type. I mean, what you give up for these guys is a different story. But you would need, like, a Bobby Ryan is a good type. Of course, I'm on the Shea Weber bandwagon. I would give up just about anybody to get him. I think that anytime you can get an elite player who's the best at his position in the entire league, you do it. That doesn't come around very often.
No,
but you need
that's
that.
For sure.
You need that. You already have the best goaltender in the league. If you can get another top three in the league player, then you're really set up to go far in the playoffs. And then that's my opinion. That's what you got to do. And it will hurt. It will certainly hurt to trade away guys that you love or guys that would have a great future. But you do because those guys are going to take you to the next level. The guys you have now may not be able to do that. And it's painful if you're a Ranger fan. God knows nobody would ever consider trading Mark Stahl. And to be honest, before last year, I probably wouldn't have either. But I'm looking at the fact that these defensemen are, as a unit, so interchangeable and so capable to lift their games above average that to lose a guy like Stahl, who has such a great reputation in the league, and he's certainly a team guy, I love Mark Stahl, but that's the type of a talent you need to give up to get something that valuable in return.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense when you put it that way. I mean,
and that's what it is. And, you know, some people in the chat room were wondering, well, he'd be expensive and a rental. Please, guys, don't think for a minute you're going to trade for a guy that's young and a top player in the league and worry, well, he's only a rental. They're not going to pay his contract in the future. My God, you got salary coming off in the off season. You've got other maneuverability through the cap. Nobody even knows what the cap's going to look like next year after the CBA is renegotiated. They don't know what they're going to roll back salaries to. So for anybody to worry right now, oh, we're not going to go ahead and be able to sign these guys if you trade for a big guy, it's only a rental, that's garbage. You have no way of knowing that right now. But worry about signing them in the off season. Make that your worry later on, which I'm sure that your GM, who is not a fool, will go ahead and make sure that if he's got a young stud, you know, top league player, whether it be, you know, a Shea Weber or even, you know, my going into my dreams about a Corey Perry type, don't worry about what they're going to get paid. They'll get paid in the Rangers will sign. There's no chance in hell they're not going to sign a guy, even if it is for a big contract. So quit worrying about the free agency status at this point, because right now you got a chance. And if you got a chance to improve yourself, to get you to the next level, you do it. And it, like I said, it could be painful because maybe one of your favorite players is going to get dealt. But my gosh, look at the bigger picture.
Well, I think you made some very good points. People will still disagree with the chat room, but then again, listen, you're a hot button issue type of guy, and that's why we love you. And we're going to wrap it up. And thanks again, Mandor, for You really did kind of sway me, but I don't know. I know what you're saying. You don't think you should be able, you know, why you're successful. You think you should just keep things the way they are. I think, but just in my thought is, I think Ranger fans' psyche about giving away youth is just so fragile. And, you know, we did it in 94, and it paid off. So, but that wasn't the Neil Smith guidance. And
exactly. And again, there's not one. You can't tell me that if you lose one player on the Rangers other than Lundqvist, if you were to deal away any one player on the Rangers, that it would make them so weak in the future. Like, Smith might have mortgaged the future by giving away a bit too many of the young guys. But by doing what he did, you know, the following the cup year with Zubov and giving up, you know, on Kovalev a little bit early and the other deals that he made. Okay, true. The Rangers farm system is a lot deeper now, and it's a different era. It's a different time. This is what this team is about. If you're close to it, if you can taste it. One thing I tremendously agree with Rock on is that expectations are now different. You know what? You've proven you're a top team in this league. Everybody accepts that fact. Okay? Your expectations are high now. Now, what do you do with those high expectations? Do you stand pat? Yeah, maybe you can go ahead and win with this team. Maybe you can. This team's never proven it could. Not to say it won't. But if you have the ability to go ahead and get a player or two that are going to put you above the top, are going to get you to that next level. Oh, my goodness, you got to do it. You have to.
Okay. Well, there you have it from the week.
All right, everybody.
Tonight's broadcast.
Yeah, we're going to wrap things up. Have a great night. Again, Friday night, come see me. Same page, same, the whole bit. They'll be right here, same phone number, and do a little New York Giants talk. See you guys then. Have a great night.
Dubinsky.
Talk to you soon.
Dubinsky.